We've got Mr. Don Green for this segment, and Don has been working with the magazine since its first day it opened. He does the prime feeding times. When I found out Don did these prime feeding times way back then and had been doing these for friends and relatives and things like that, after I looked into it, I thought, well, this thing needs to be published. This is something that nobody can find anywhere else, specifically for the Mobile Tensile Delta. Don, how many years have you been doing this all together?
Well, I guess as far as the beginnings of it was when I was not even a teenager. Hmm. Can't even talk. Excuse me. But as I grew older, that kind of thing interested me, you know. So, and I got, you know, I guess it was just fate that hooked me up with the right people as a teenager.
Well,
I learned so much. A good example is an old friend of mine came by yesterday. Take a swig of this water now and talk. Came by yesterday. We reminisced all evening about how we used to trace behind his daddy in the piney woods up in Washington County, getting turpentine off of the cups. And he would tell us everything about those forests. He explained things. And everything in my younger years, when somebody started explaining it to me, the moon and the way the sun was, the time of the year, always had something to do with it. And it just triggered my mind to working more toward doing that.
Well,
time I was 21 years old.
You've studied this all your life,
right. Basically
the moon and its effect on fishing and animals. And also, when you do the prime feeding time chart, you also take into consideration other factors, current tide movement,
right. You
know, that affects our delta, as well as the moon, and not just the phase of the moon, but what position it's in. It's pretty
exactly. Complicated.
You've tried to teach me several times, but I'm too dumb to figure it out.
The moon is in an elliptical orbit, number one. It's not uniform. In certain parts of that elliptical orbit, the same exact things will cause the moon to have it to cause a not so good fishing day, as later in the month it'll cause it to be one of the best fishing days because of where the moon is. People here, just like the supermoon, all the supermoon is when the moon happens to get full at its perigee, closest to the Earth.
Mm-hmm.
When it's in its perigee and it has to be full, that's a supermoon.
Mm-hmm.
It takes sometimes years for it to happen. Sometimes you may have it happen two or three times in the year, but that I guess that was the Lord's plan for keeping life on this earth. That's the way I look at it. And everything, really, wildlife, even humans, they don't realize the moon affects them, but it does. But the moon affects all wildlife, whether it's in the water or on land. You can use that same chart that you fish with to be a better hunter.
Now,
people don't know that.
Now, Don, does this chart that you create, does it work specifically for South Alabama, you know, in our area and these counties surrounding us here? Or would this work for a guy who's in North Alabama?
Okay. Take a line and draw it right through the edge of Georgia and another line right through the center of Mississippi. And between those lines, which we're in, and we're probably close to the middle of it, all the way to the North Pole, all the way to the South Pole, that is a good time.
Mm-hmm.
It affects the whole earth. Anywhere in Alabama, you know, I started off doing that as a prime delta fishing time because I had such a big influence of tidal things. But then as it went along, I realized that most of the people that were using that thing wasn't even fishing tidal water.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kind of kind of evened it back up to whereas they would benefit from it as much as somebody fishing this delta.
Well, I know
and,
we get
anywhere in Alabama, you can use it. Yeah, anywhere.
Well, I can tell you this: if the magazine is ever a day late getting to somebody's house, we get calls, and the calls are not, you know, about anything else than where is my chart? I cannot go fishing today because I don't have my chart.
Up in the middle of Alabama, and they'll have one of our prime delta fishing times on the back of the door, so they look at what the moon times are as they go out.
I seen our page stuck. In North Mississippi, stuck to the front door of a hunting cabin, a big company that owned it, and they put it up every month, that chart, and you could look off their front porch way down a power line into a big food plot down there, and they said, we watch this chart, and we watch them deer, and it never fails. When deer come out, it's a prime time.
I guarantee you, and you learn to use that chart for hunting as such as on a sunny day when the wind's blowing, you get down in the bottoms to use it. Other days on a darker day or wind, there's no wind blowing, he may come up on a food plot. You know, you learn to use that over time, and people that I helped taught to use this years ago, they don't go without it.
Yeah. Now, it does have a disclaimer on it. We put in there that inclement weather, bad weather, terrible storms can affect this, you know, and nullify it. But on a normal day, it's pretty doggone accurate.
That's right. When you have a stable day, when the weather is stable, you can pretty well swear by it, I think. When you have a slightly dropping barometer or a quickly rising barometer, whatever, where the barometer is affecting the animals, it can make it even better or it can make it much worse. Mm-hmm. I've been out there on great days as far as my chart show, but we had a slowly dropping barometer and you'd feel him mouth it a little bit and turn it loose, you know. It's just one of those things that just won't hit when the barometer's not.
Yeah, that's true. But when that barometer is going fast down, they hit like crazy.
I call it falling off a table. If you're lucky enough to be out there when the barometer's falling off the table, you can catch fish in all sizes.
But you better get your butt in because it's fixing a storm.
Well, I have got caught many times because I wouldn't leave, you know, and I had to just wait it out.
Yeah, my boat always has rain gear in it and an umbrella, so I'm ready for that.
Guarantee. So. I usually... anywhere I'm fishing on that delta now, it's not so much as it used to be, but I knew where all of the boat sheds were that had a roof on them. And that's what I'd head for. I'd always be where I could run to one pretty quick.
Well, you know, some of the places we fish in the delta, it takes 30, 40 minutes to get back to the launch. So you got to be prepared.
Yeah.
You know, the only thing that'll make me head back to the launch is bad lightning. I don't like that at all.
Oh, yeah, I don't like to stay around lightning. But one thing I want to bring out about, we was talking about the moon and all. You got to take that thing and use it and get confidence in it. If you're confidence in it, if you have confidence in it, it's going to work for you sooner or later. You'll start putting the pieces together. Just the chart that I make now, each one of those blooms is a tide change. And if you're a brim fisherman, you want to fish the incoming and high tide part of it. If you're a bass fisherman, you want to fish the outgoing tide part of it. If you're a crappie fisherman, either the high or low, you know, you fish either. You learn to fish with what you're fishing for. You learn, you try all of it and find out which is best for you. And once you do, I mean, it really, really does work.
And we also have the moon time charts that we publish, and that way you can tell when the moon is straight over your head, when it's straight under the earth, under your feet, when it's going to rise, when it's going to set every day of the month. And a lot of people, you know, believe that when the moon is over or under, those are prime times. You know, some of these national charts that you get online, that's all they do. They just go over and under and rise and set, and that's the prime times and the intermediate times to hunt.
That's right.
So we give you both in the magazine, and I think it really complements each other.
And people just don't realize what a gold mine they got sitting there in front of them. It's all they got to do is use it.
Our tide charts, as a matter of fact, the Mobile River this Saturday morning at the mouth of Mobile River, we got a nip tide coming this weekend, Saturday and Sunday. So y'all watch out for that. And the good news is there's three primetime fishing times on the charts on Saturday, three of them. So that's a really good day.
Mm-hmm. That would be a good day because you can pick your time.
It's all shaping up to be a good weekend. Don, thank you so much for the information and being with us today, buddy. We value your input so much. Thank you.
All right.
We've got Dan Miller with us. He's putting on the Mobile Boat Show again this year. It's happening this weekend at the Mobile Convention Center. Dan, how you doing?
I'm doing good. How are y'all today?
We're doing good. We're looking forward to seeing you down there this weekend. And tell us what all is going to happen.
Well, we got a mighty big show this weekend, Alan. You know, it's always big, but this year just bigger and better every year. We've got tons of boats inside. We don't have enough room inside the convention center, so we got them all spread out in the South Plaza, on the sidewalks. Everywhere. It's a huge show this year.
Well, the economy is sure doing good. It's rocking and rolling again, finally, and especially in South Alabama, seems to be a real good economy. Lots of houses being built, and I can imagine there's more participation in the boat show this year because of that.
There really is, Alan, and it's a great show this year, and we've got some new things that we hadn't had before. We've got one thing for kids. You know, we all like to get kids interested in boating and fishing, and on Saturday at 1 o'clock we've got a kids 101. And Captain Ronnie Daniels is in charge of it from over in Mississippi. Does a great job, and the first 100 kids will get a free rod, tackle box. We'll get them all set up, but there are several stations they go around and learn how to learn a little about safety, a little about casting, a little about how to tie knots, and
wow,
it's just a great event for kids. And that's something new we're doing this year. But we always have lots for kids to do. So that's always been one of our focuses, not only to get people in the boat that they dream about, but get kids interested for the long run.
You know, the boat show in Mobile has always been a family affair. You've always done a great job of making it fun for the whole family, and a lot of people bring their children. They seem to have a good time. I see them coming by the booth, and they'll pick up a magazine, and we'll give them a decal, and they start telling you all about what they did downstairs and all of that. It's a lot of fun.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know, I could talk all day long about how many beautiful boats they are, and in every price range, and all the things to see and dream about. But I see people now buying boats that were kids when we first started doing the show 25 or so years ago. And that it really is everything we do, hunting, fishing, outdoors. It's really about getting kids interested for the future.
Mm-hmm. Well, you can, like you said, you can buy anything from a John boat with a 25 horsepower motor on it, all the way up to, you know, something you can sleep overnight on. So
absolutely, absolutely. I've never seen so many different styles and sizes of boats, kayaks, just everything in the world that you might dream about.
And fishing gear, too. There's usually some booths with fishing gear. And I want to mention that they have a Guides Corner put on by Sean Sullivan, and some of our weekly reporters will be there, Captain Wayne Miller and Captain Bobby Abrascato. If you guys want to meet them, just stop by the Guides Corner downstairs, and you can meet our reporters there, too.
That's exactly right, and we started that a couple of years ago, and it really has been nice because, you know, if you got questions, you don't have to sit down and listen to somebody talk about whatever they want to talk about. You can ask questions about where to go, how to fish, how to tie your tackle. It's just a great event, one-on-one with the guides.
Those displays that the Game and Fish and the Fisheries have in that whole room full of displays and things that, you know, animals and fish that the kids can touch and feel and watch, that's really interesting, too.
It really is. It's they get to get up close and personal with stingrays and and things that live on the bottom of the ocean that actually can touch them and feel them, and really get close to it. So that's a great thing. And for little kids, you know, that we've got the trout pond to catch fish in, and then the big guys can find some tackle and offshore stuff to do their own things with.
There's great deals. And I'll tell you one thing, that stingray tank may be the only place on earth that I would like to be personal with a stingray.
Okay. That is the only place. But it's really fun for the kids. It really is. And we enjoy doing that. And of course, Camp Rapahope is, we sponsor them, and they help out with our the trout pond, the fishing for small kids.
Well, thank you, Dan, for being on with us, buddy, and we'll see you this weekend.
Okay, Alan, thank you for